World. You can pick up a free copy at over 250 newsstands throughout central Vermont. Get your world at places like McDonald's in Berlin, Hannaford, Kinney Drugs in Waterbury in Berlin, and the Berlin Mall. A full list of newsstands is available online at vt-world.com and in each edition. The World, Central Vermont's hometown newspaper for over 40 years.
It's time to get the story behind the story. Interviews with newsmakers, newsbreakers, and your phone calls. Radio Vermont presents The Mark Johnson Show.
Thank you, Jim Conde. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. It's Monday, and it's really snowing out there. Thanks for spending part of your morning with us. Safe travels. Take a little bit of extra time. It wasn't really that bad early this morning, but forecaster Roger Hill says it's going to get increasingly tricky as the day goes on. So keep that in mind. You know, we all can get to where we need to, but might just take a little bit of extra time. All right, coming up on the program this morning, in our at 9:30 this morning, we're going to talk about some mental health issues. Mary Moulton is with the Washington County Mental Health Services. She will join us at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take your phone calls throughout the program as well. I know everybody will be literally the Monday morning quarterback if we bring up last night's game. We could do that perhaps in hour number two. My friend Michael Powell, who writes for the Washington Post, the little brother of Mary Powell of Green Mountain Power, wrote this incredible piece about Tom Brady. I will share some excerpts of that with you. And a big column today about Senator Bernie Sanders. Actually, Michael's piece is in the Times. The other piece about Bernie Sanders in today's Washington Post, we're talking about the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer, and an interesting reaction from the Washington Post columnist. I'll share that with you as well. Our numbers on the program, 244-1777. That's our local number in central Vermont. And you can also reach us on our toll-free lines at 877-291-8255. A little behind on the podcast. I will catch up on those today, all of the ones that we had at the Vermont Farm Show last week, as well as our Friday broadcast at the Vermont Legislature. Let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to Paul Costello. He's the Executive Director of the Vermont Council on Rural Development. And Joe Fusco is with Casola Waste Management. We're going to talk about a conference that's coming up later on this month on the 18th. It's the Summit on Creating Prosperity and Opportunity Confronting Climate Change. It's going to be happening down at Vermont Technical College in Randolph. And it's, again, on the 18th. Paul, why don't you start us off? Good morning. How's it going?
Good morning. Thanks, Mark.
Any difficulty getting in here today?
Not too bad.
Okay. Too bad. Where were you coming from?
Montpelier.
And where were you? Joe, you were coming from Rutland.
I drove up from Chittenden this morning, and I suffered the ultimate humiliation. I was passed by a Prius on I-89.
Ooh. All right. Well, but you know what? You got here safely, so that's okay. A little pride, you know, doesn't really matter. So, Paul, at this conference, what's the gist here of this?
Well, you know, we're wrestling with climate change globally and in Vermont, and we think that there may be economic opportunities. We're not building a debate, but VCRD is really interested in the fate of rural communities and how we attract young people, how we attract innovative businesses, and we think that if we line up the right set of strategies, we could advance and attract young businesses in this sector for the future of Vermont.
To fight climate change.
Yeah. I mean, there's a huge panoply of businesses now that are doing this. You know, we're first in solar jobs per capita in Vermont. We have VEIC and other efficiencies work. It's a cold climate here, so we need that. But every businesses like Casella's, businesses like National Life, Pomerleau Insurance, these guys are all thinking about how they situate themselves in the market for the long term, how they're going to make a buck, how they're going to better their bottom line, and they're looking at investments. And so we think there's an additive, positive conversation that can come about how we can help take some of that work forward, use it as a job creation strategy, and then use it as a bragging point, frankly. You know, if Vermont is taking leadership, how do we use that to attract young entrepreneurs from all across the country who are looking at, you know, where's Mission Center on this economic development strategy? We're not competing with Northern New York to capture the big manufacturers with low tax rates, you know, open land, all that stuff. what's our niche, what's our key strategy, because as important as those, you know, tax credits are, capturing the imagination and inspiring the imagination of those young entrepreneurs is equally important, bringing them into our community.
All right, so what kind of jobs specifically are you really thinking about here? What kind of jobs are going to help with the climate and that would be attractive to younger people?
Well, I think the solar initiatives are still in their early phases. I think that we have Velco and GMP looking today at distributed energy systems. How do we expand the number of small systems, and how do we expand the creativity of those systems? We have lake quality issues that beg the question, can we be building energy out of our manure instead of distributed on the land as impacts practices? You know, where are we going to be 5 and 10 years out? VCRD steps back from these issues. We're not building up a platform for the legislature this year. We're not interested in the politics of climate change and business development this year. We really think it's important to step back and look at the big picture of opportunities and then line up and see how things add up as a strategy for the long term.
What's the role of Casella in this, Joe?
Well, I think as a business, or if I could stand in as a proxy for the business community, you get paid in society, and that's been true of all of human history, when you're able to solve a set of problems. And so this set of problems around climate change, around the way we use resources, represents, we think, significant business opportunities, not only for new businesses, but for existing businesses to either grow or become more efficient in the way they run their businesses. As Paul said, this is really not about debating the politics of climate change. It's not about punishing things. It's not about shaming activities or businesses. It's not about what we're going to tax. It's about sitting down and having a conversation about the way Vermont can leverage its strengths to encourage economic development, economic opportunity, business development, creativity, and innovation to be a kind of community, to be a state where we solve these problems better than anybody else, and it becomes an attractive place for people to live and work.
Let's talk a little bit about what you're doing at Casella to turn basically waste into something productive.
One way to look at it is there's carbon. We have a carbon life cycle in our environment, and we take carbon out of the ground to make fuel. We take carbon out of the ground to make things. So the challenge is at each stage of where we take carbon, whether we're burning fuel or whether we're manufacturing things, there are opportunities to capture that carbon, renew that carbon, sequester that carbon. So if we can, for example, recycling, every bit of material that you recycle, particularly plastic, we'll take that for an example, means that's less oil you're taking out of the ground. And so carbon that we remove from the earth, carbon that we use in manufacturing, can somehow wind up in the atmosphere where it becomes a toxic in a lot of ways, in some forms. So all of this really goes together. The better you are at recycling, the better you are at using less of resources, the better you are at using less things like fuel, you're contributing to a stronger environment, and you're contributing to reducing climate change. These are real economic opportunities. They represent real businesses. So we look at what can we do to renew resources as a business opportunity, but it also is incumbent upon us, I think, to look at the way we use resources. For example, we have a couple goals in our company. One is to reduce the amount of diesel fuel that we use. That has environmental impacts, of course, but it also has economic impacts because it makes us a more competitive, lower-cost business.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Let's talk about some of the efforts that are being made. For example, up at the Coventry landfill. I mean, really big change up there.
Landfills, for better or worse, are a significant source of greenhouse gas. Methane, which is a product of decomposition, is 26 times more potent a greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. So we have a responsibility to look at how can we reduce what landfills put into the atmosphere from a methane standpoint. One of the ways to do that is to capture that methane and use it to power generators to produce electricity. So the benefits are a couple-fold. One is we reduce that methane gas from escaping into the atmosphere, but we also are producing a renewable energy source as well, and we're making money doing it because it is a business to produce electricity.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be this big change that happens on July 1 in terms of how garbage is collected and how people pay for it. Can you tell me, how is this going to work? What's the change, and how is the transition going here?
The way we're going to change garbage or waste management in Vermont in July is really about removing more organic or carbon-based material from the waste stream. And where that is, particularly food waste, is where recycling was 40 years ago. So really what you're going to see is not a sea change immediately, but the beginning of a process that builds an infrastructure, that builds an economy around recycling a different kind of material, in this case, organic waste or food waste or other types of carbon-based waste that we don't really want in the waste stream, that we want to be able to capture as a renewable resource. And that will require creativity, innovation, an economy that we need to structure and build around that so that we have the same infrastructure in a number of years that we have for traditional recycling now.
How, I mean, is it getting there? I mean, is the infrastructure in place for this July 1 start, or is it just going to be a mess?
It's not going to be a mess. It will, like a lot of things, unfold slowly, and it will require people to be creative and patient as well.
What does that mean?
I think it means that there's going to be a lot of experimenting. There's going to be a lot of stumbles. There's going to be public policy stumbles. There's going to be stumbles on the part of people who want to build and start businesses around this opportunity. But in the long run, again, I think the way to look at it is, where were we 40 years ago with recycling? There wasn't an infrastructure. This habit wasn't ingrained in a lot of people. But we got there, and we got there through experimentation, we got there through good public policy, and we got there through people willing to risk capital to provide those kind of services and solve that problem for Vermont.
We're talking with Joe Fusco. He's with Casella Waste Management. Paul Costello's with the Vermont Council on Rural Development. Can you give me some idea, just generally speaking, Joe, in terms of what is not going into landfills compared to what used to go into landfills? Is there a percentage? I mean, is the amount of waste that's been taken out of the waste stream 50%? What is it with recycling in particular?
The exact figures are often in dispute. We made great strides through the 80s and 90s, and I think we hit a plateau. And I think what will get us to the next level is a combination of smart public policy and people willing to risk and deploy capital and creativity and innovation and take us to the next level. So as our technology improves, as our ability to handle more and more waste, as we become a society more focused on addressing issues like climate change, we will create economies and opportunities for people to be smart and creative around pulling more of what is a resource out of what we used to think was a waste stream and renewing it and reusing it.
Mm-hmm. So, Paul, how do you take this conference and turn it from something that's sort of an educational forum into real jobs?
Well, that's a ways. We see it more as mutual education than us educating the public in this session. We're bringing together leaders from marketing, from community-based climate work that's happening, from transportation, from recycling, resource reuse, from distributed energy companies that are looking at the next stage of that, from efficiencies, and really breaking this down in terms of the different parts of this economy, and then thinking in each area, what are some of the opportunities? What's some of the innovation that's happening today? What are some of the things that should be done to spur and support that innovation tomorrow? And we're, you know, this is a wide mouth of a funnel. We're having this big, broad conversation today, and we're going to be listening hard, and we're also building a team that's going to be focusing on what's the action steps that come from here. How do we look at this in terms of a marketing platform to reach those young entrepreneurs? What are the triggers in state government or in the business community in terms of investment and return that ought to be lined up to be thinking about the next steps in terms of economic development in Vermont? And some of that could end up in a political conversation. A lot of it will probably end up in collaboration between different businesses over time. And, you know, we're not a top-down organization. We don't think we have all the answers. But we think that we're situated as a state to provide to sort of add things up. We're a small place. It's easy for us to pull people together. The panoply of 80 different speakers and leaders that we're going to have together to be part of this agenda is in itself going to be fascinating. But a lot of the people who are coming in, scientists, business leaders, and others, all have been thinking about this as well. And so we're going to gestate their best ideas together, and then we're going to use those ideas as the beginnings of how do we frame a set of strategies to move all this forward, working with, you know, not against anybody, but with lots of others.
Is the public invited? What's the deal?
Oh, absolutely. This is for everybody. February 18th, VTC. To register, you go to vtrural.org, and we're inviting, you know, the governor will be there and key business leaders, but we're also inviting students. We've had a close relationship with UVM, with the Rubenstein School, and with, you know, as you know, VCRD is also facilitating work with higher education in terms of them pulling together and marketing themselves nationally as the epicenter of food systems education for the country and really attracting young people. And we're beginning to see success with that. This is a similar step, but a big one, in terms of thinking about how we marshal the resources to tell that story about Vermont as a creative place to do business. A lot of people think of us as a pastoral backwater, but in fact, there's creative businesses and tech businesses and digital economy businesses forming all over the state, not just Chittenden County, and small towns are seeing that nurturing those is absolutely vital to their long-term success. The looking at it in the lens of the climate economy gives you another hook and another brand attribute that can connect with this as a movement nationally.
Mm-hmm. Is there money to be made in compost? Is there money to be made in waste?
I think there's money to be made solving very difficult problems. I think you have a choice. You can look at this one of two ways. You can look at climate change and panic and be a harbinger of gloom and doom, and that there are all kinds of terrible things we need to do to solve this. Or you can look at it
and never get out of bed in the morning.
Right, never get out of bed in the morning. Or you can look at it as an amazing opportunity. There's a real economy here. There are problems that need to be solved, and that there are businesses and people that can get paid and to create value for themselves and their communities around solving these problems of the way we treat the climate and the way we use resources in this culture. And we like to think that this conversation is a necessary conversation because Vermont can be a leader. Vermont can be a leader in the way that we encourage people, the way that we encourage and attract creativity, the way that we encourage and attract capital, and the way that we give people the space to be creative problem solvers around a very real problem. And that's what's exciting. It's not to sit here and not get out of bed in the morning, as you say, but to get out of bed and say, there are business opportunities here. There's an economy here. There are ways to do good, interesting work that can create value for ourselves in this state and in our communities.
You know, it is a little overwhelming, though, when you think about, you know, Vermont is doing its part, maybe, but all these other places in the world, I mean, the garbage, it's just overwhelming how little is being done, for example, on recycling in many other parts of the world.
Well, you can curse the darkness or you can light a candle. And, you know,
well, count on me to find the darkness. Right?
This world, wherever you live, is going to need innovative, sustainable ways to produce energy and electricity. Why can't those solutions, why can't that brain power, why can't that creativity come from Vermont, come from a place that has always had this kind of ethic about being sustainable, about the way we use resources? So this is a strength that Vermont has. Why shouldn't it be an economic strength? Why shouldn't we build an economy and jobs and value for ourselves by being the people who solve these problems no matter where they exist in the world?
Mm-hmm.
And let's have that conversation. That's what February 18th should be about. So if you're interested in having that conversation, this is a conference and a summit for you.
And I would imagine, Paul, that you would be more interested in seeing those entrepreneurs and those jobs somewhere outside of Burlington and Essex Junction in Chittenden County.
Well, the whole state works together, and the success of Chittenden County is good for the rest of the state. But, you know, we come into small towns where, you know, about half of our work is really pulling people together in local communities to set goals and line up strategies for success. not strategies that D.C. or Montpelier solves for them, but really that are within their power. Almost every town we go to these days is looking at food systems, how they catch some of that young energy. And then they're looking at incubating businesses in their downtowns. Very strong sense of downtown as being the place they want to grow businesses in the future. Another strong sense that there's a wave of stuff happening, particularly in Chittenden County, with software development, with digital economic businesses, with gamers, with creative stuff that can locate anywhere that there's high-speed internet.
I mean, at least two or three of those ads on the game last night were for games. I mean, this is big money.
The military is using game strategies to guide their cutting-edge technologies. We're going to see gaming online be part of all kinds of activity. Yeah. And probably, you know, personas and all kinds of other stuff. It's weird what's going on the net right now. But where's it going to be in 5 or 10 years? So these small towns they're seeing the pressure of, you know, does the old marketplace that we had work anymore? You know, Manchester's looking at its box stores. You know, do mm-hmm. people want to spend $350 to spend the night in Manchester to go to the Gap? Well, they sure don't need to anymore. And so they're building a business incubator in their downtown. They're saying, how do we capture the imagination of creative young people, help make it easy for them, but also help them work together so there's a community of them? You know, what's cool about Chittenden County is there's a lot of creative young people who are doing really innovative stuff in these different businesses, and they bump heads and they, you know, bump elbows and they share ideas, and there's a mutual, you know, generation of excitement and ideas that comes from that. In a small town, mm-hmm. You think of Local 64 here in Montpelier that Lars Torres put together. It pulls gamers and creative folks and writers and a pretty diverse group of pretty young businesses together who are basically renting space by the hour or by the month, and they all are in the same room half the time. Mm-hmm. And there's a generated excitement. Generator in Burlington's another example. And even without a big dialogue on this, local communities are all wrestling with it. How do we do this ourselves? Is there a for-profit developer who's got an old building that could be a place that attracts 10 to 15 small businesses? And it's good for him. You know, it's good for the building owners.
Yeah.
But we may not have store-to-store with Woolworths and Penny's and so forth in our downtowns in the future. We may be needing to think about incubating a new generation of creative businesses that use some of that space in new ways.
I think you've also identified one of the challenges is in these rural communities to try to get enough young people to create a critical mass so they want to live there.
Yeah.
Because people want to live in Burlington or Chittenden County.
Yeah, I mean, the Working Lands Enterprise Fund did an award to Callie Hastings from Fat Toad Farm. She described coming to the town of Brookfield, where she got to Brookfield and she's working on a goat farm, a vegetable farm. She's inventing a caramel sauce, and she's looking around, and she's the only person in her 20s in the town that she can find.
Yeah.
And it's lonely. You know, I always thought a dating service might be the best rural development strategy for young people. But she's lonely. But they're successful. Working Lands Enterprise helps them. Their business grows. They have 6 employees, all in their 20s. And then she says, and 2 other farms have formed like that. There's now 18 of us.
Wow.
And you think about a town as small as Brookfield and what 18 young people mean for the generation of excitement and lifeblood for that community. Those kids are going to have babies at some point. And that's going to, you know, you talk about the revitalization of rural schools. It's about having enough children to keep them sustained and dynamic.
You said there were weird things going on the internet. You know, dating service with Paul Costello on the Council on Rural Development.
Yeah, well.
Right up there. But if you do, launch it maybe in about, I don't know, maybe 11, 12 days here.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So who's your keynote speaker? Sounds like an interesting guy.
This guy, Jigar Shah.
Yeah.
And Jigar is a founder of Sun Edison. He's an investment and a strategist who supports a lot of small businesses in solar and other distributed generation technologies. Sun Edison's the largest solar company in the world. So he's done very well for himself. He's got a large perspective. He's going to be provocative. He doesn't think everything comes from the ground up and grassroots development. He thinks the state has a role to play. We don't endorse anybody's thinking. We think it's good to have someone be a spark plug for everybody. And so we're really encouraged to hear him. He'll be the closing speaker in this this event.
And again, give people the info to sign up.
Yeah, the best way to find us is to go to the website, which is vtrural.org. And you'll see the registration information right up front.
Is that right under the iSpy section? Thank you both for coming in. Joe, thanks for driving all the way up here, too.
My pleasure, Mark.
Safe travels back home.
Thank you, Mark.
Joe Fusco is with Casella Waste Management. Paul Castell is the executive director of the Vermont Council on Rural Development. We were talking about a conference that's coming up on the 18th of February. Go to vtrural.org for more information. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back right after these important announcements.
Folks, Dan Keene here, owner of Lamar.